Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to talk to Anita Marks coming up in about 10 minutes here as it is full-blown training camp time. We have got the Hall of Fame game coming up in the NFL tonight. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales filling in for Jhené Egwumike today, normally the co-host of Sports Nation that you guys see all over ESPN. Plus, Trev, you and I are actually on Sports Nation that is out today.
Right now. Yeah, go stream that. Get all the views up for us. Man, it was a lot of fun, right? We did a little baseball talk, kind of recapping the first couple of thirds of the season. Got to see Tim Kurchin dance. It was lovely.
Anytime you can get a little dance out of Timmy Kurchin there. I mean, God love it. And of course, the purest, like our ESPN MLB insider extraordinaire, the kindest human being on earth, did it for his son, too. Like, went out here. Tim does not want to dance. He wants to watch baseball. He wants to score his own sheet. Yes. And he's out here doing it for the kids. That's father of the year material.
It is, man. It's just person of the year, like humanitarian.
Exactly. Across we love Tim Kurkjian. So, great stuff you can check out there this morning. Me, Trev, Victoria Arlen, hanging out on Sports Nation. We'll talk to Anita Marks, does a great job here with the folks at the Daily Wager on ESPN, but also covering the New York football Giants, all sorts of New York sports, because it is training camps. We are going inside our training camp preview for every team in the NFL, taking you guys up through the preseason. Started off with the Dallas Cowboys and Todd Archer answering the three biggest questions around every team heading into the NFL season. So we'll get to that with Anita Marks coming up in about 10 minutes for the New York Giants as we start things off in the NFC East. We'll also talk to Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst there as well. But Trev, last night we were all sitting around here. We're still basking in the afterglow of NBA free agency and all the moves that have gone on here. And largely what we've seen from folks is, all right, LeBron James running it back with the old crowd here. Yeah. Chris Paul coming up, staying with the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks running everything back. Julius Randle signs that big deal here. All of it is to say, most people decided to stay home. And we felt good. Like, Trev, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not a lot of moves from this NBA free agency period that were volatile enough for us to really criticize, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think, like, the closest we came to maybe critiquing is, or just assessing and wondering what the fit is Kyle Lowry down in Miami? We'll see how that works out. But for the most part, it was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, we that. That was probably the most aggressive swing.
Right.
And so you can imagine how shocked we were last night. LeBron James takes to Twitter. Tweets out, keep talking about my squad, our personnel ages, the way they play, we're past our prime in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please, and I mean please, keep that same narrative energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you. One, that was not long after our show. I felt very seen, keep that same energy, a staple of the Jhené Angola Jr. diet around here. For anyone that's familiar, I also appreciated that thank you, two words, is the shortest, most abbreviated hashtagging LeBron James has ever done in a tweet.
Ever.
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 Generally tends to tweet like your dad that you still have to explain certain things to. But Trev, who is he getting this from? Because last time I checked, there has been very little but praise. Like, we've had fun with the fact that their roster is old, that Russell Westbrook, one of the marquee additions of this offseason, is a young 32 on that roster, which is someone who turns 32 in September I deeply identify with. But this seems like Saban-esque, I'm going to try and make motivation out of nothing.
1,000%. It's in the same vein of Michael Jordan taking slight out of something that was never, ever, ever slight. And it's manufactured motivation, which I can get behind. Maybe that's why the tweet came down a couple minutes after he posted it, right? Like, there are so many different things we can look at. I really thought that it was a grown and sexy appreciation for what was going down out there in L.A. It was like, we know that these are all guys that we love watching back in, like, we were all hyped for back in 02. They were in their primes around 09 to the 13 range. And it's like, oh, man, these names are getting back together. And there's actually a couple roster fits that make sense for L.A. And my God, LeBron has had a full offseason. So it's scary what they're building out in L.A. Not they're old. We going to get these. Well, okay, we still got the jokes off.
Yeah.
But it wasn't outright critique.
Yeah, and in most instances, LeBron James has been one to lean into some of the jokes. I mean, hell, we saw that comedian on social media.
Supreme Dream,
who made the video when James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets that LeBron met at the ESPYs that he laughed with during the season, and yet he's taking some slight. I just want to know, is there anyone he got this from? Like, we need this like a bibliography where you got to cite your sources. Because I'm listening to Kenny Smith earlier on ESPN Radio, TNT NBA analyst, former NBA veteran, say that he thinks the Lakers actually won this free agent period.
If you put a championship on paper, they would be the 2022 NBA champs. You know, you have four guys that arguably, especially three guys for sure, that when they look at anyone in that position, they go, I have the advantage tonight. You know, you have Russell Westbrook. There's no point guard that he's ever going to look at even at this stage in his career and go, oh, I can't guard that guy, or he can guard me. Anthony Davis, obviously, and LeBron still at this time in his career the same way. So they can win every position in with those three 90% of the nights, which makes them very dangerous and obviously a clear-cut favorite. And they just won the championship the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't like they were that far off this year. They were just injured.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales. The only thing I'd dispute is clear-cut favorite. I think favorites to win the West, you could probably make that argument here. But with what Brooklyn did last year coming together and with what we've seen from Kevin Durant, not only in the postseason but now in the Olympic run, heading up to a gold medal chance for Team USA, I would probably slot them there. But, man, Trev, that's splitting hairs.
Right. It's we're talking semantics. What, like, whatever day you wake up, that answer could change when it comes to just the idea of them being far from the favorite. No. Ain't nobody slighting that team in LA for any reason. There is a legitimate amount of excitement building around them because that's four Hall of Famers we're talking about on the same roster, right? Like, that is undeniably something to expect a lot from. And given, again, the offseason, given that they are expected to get not the same breaks that Phoenix got, but like they are going to have the same struggles that they had in the last season. It's building up for nothing but positivity for LeBron. So I don't know if the bots got in his missions. Like, one person said something and then it just compounds upon that, but that feels manufactured as all outdoors.
LeBron James tweets, then deletes, then tweets again,
right,
then deletes again,
right,
a tweet about people supposedly attacking this Lakers roster. I mean, Trev, if we did have to parse it down, is there anything that does concern you about this? Because there is a real basketball conversation to have around this team, not just LeBron trying to manufacture this slight going into another year where you're right. Tons of reason to be optimistic. You get him and Anthony Davis healthy with a longer offseason in one that's going to be a shorter turnaround for everyone that played late.
Right.
Like, this NBA season is still, because of the expanded playoffs, because of when we started, going to be a closer runtime than players are used to. But is there anything that does concern you about this roster at this point?
There's the idea that Russell and LeBron navigating the space of being the point on the floor, that there is a little bit of friction there philosophically, I would think. Where I would rebut my own point to say that it's more about adding Russell for when LeBron isn't on the floor. There is a facilitation that he provides, whether it be him out there chasing triple-doubles, whatever you want to sign him with, there's a level of production that you can expect from him at that position that allows you to still get some sort of run that I can't remember the number it was. George Sedano joined Sports Nation one night and told us it was like they were the number three in offensive efficiency when LeBron was on the floor. And when he came off the floor, they went down to like 28th. There's just such a disparity that Russell was there to alleviate. Now, health is going to be a concern. How you manage that roster and the age of each of the individuals on it is going to be a concern. But I think that main friction point of who's going to be the point in at all times, that's where the most friction will occur.
Yeah, I think honestly the biggest point of contention will be, can you get LeBron James to dial it down in the regular season in a way he hasn't wanted to seed in the last couple of years? There's a big point of contention last January, and I'm not saying it's the only factor that goes into some injuries are just random, but he is an older player putting a lot of miles on a body that already has logged a ton. Can he dial it back? Self-control, which again wasn't on display with this tweet, maybe can be on display this season as LeBron James tweets and deletes calling out the Lakers detractors into 2021. That's nice that we can play with because it's the offseason. We got plenty of time for the NBA now. Coming up next, though, it's time to put our hands in the dirt. We're getting ready for football on the reel tonight. We got the three and out here on Chenan Golic Jr. We'll head to New York now that we have solved the riddle of Jason Garrett's press conference from earlier today. What are the actual three biggest questions facing the New York Giants? We'll get to those next here, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golic Jr., the podcast.
about 20 minutes till I tell you exactly the plan I have to put Kirk Cousins in a dunk tank and why everyone will win when this happens. Jhené Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales filling in for Jhené Egbuemeke today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've talked about it. We're jacked up for the Hall of Fame game tonight. I know some of you out there might think it's weird that watching all four quarters of this first preseason game is depraved or sick in some way. No.
No. I think it's a healthy relationship with football.
Yes.
Like, no one's saying I'm going to be amped up and yelling at the TV in the way that I would for a regular season or playoff game, but I'm going to sit and watch now.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it all in.
We don't have a problem. You guys have
Correct.
A problem, all right? Don't try
Look
and tell
in the
us
mirror.
That we have a problem, all right? And so to help with that, because now that we got people officially lining up and going to work, we're decided to dive into our NFL training camp previews around here. Two teams a day, the three biggest questions facing each team heading into the 2021 NFL season. We hit the Cowboys earlier. We're going to stick in the NFC East with the New York Giants as we do three and out here on Jhené Golick Jr.
The New York Giants.
And to help us out with the three big questions, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our friend, host on ESPN New York 98.7, and contributor to the Daily Wager around here, Anita Marks, kind enough to join us. Anita, how you doing?
What's up? What's up? I'm great. Football's here tonight, baby.
We're ready to go. I knew Anita was going to be fired up and ready to put the pads on here. So, Anita, as we look, let's get to some big questions for the Giants here.
Number three.
Anita, this has to start off with Daniel Jones here. Is this the make or break year for the Giants' young quarterback?
Absolutely. Dave Gettleman hitched his wagon to Daniel Jones the minute that he drafted him as high as he did in this season. No team in free agency did better at improving their offense than the New York Football Giants. Bringing in Kenny Golladay, John Ross, drafting Tredavious Toney. So a lot of weapons offensively. Kyle Rudolph, tight end from the Minnesota Vikings, comes in. They improve their offensive line. Granted, everybody's waiting anxiously to see when Saquon Barkley will be active and attractive, as I like to call it, but they do have Devontae Booker, who they like a lot in that backfield, especially how he helps in pass protection. So this is a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones and possibly general manager Dave Gettleman as well, guys.
Number two.
Speaking of Mr. Active and Attractive, hopefully, Saquon, what's it going to take for him to get back to his 2018 form, Anita?
That's a great question. Keep in mind, it's not like Saquon Barkley just tore an ACL. He tore many things in that knee. I think Adrian Peterson set an unrealistic bar for all professional athletes as quickly as he was able to come back when he tore his ACL. The Giants are taking this slow. They really are. I do expect Saquon Barkley to be on the opening day 53-man roster. Now what the Giants can do after that is put him on IR if they so choose, and maybe have him rest for another 3 weeks. Maybe we'll see him week four against the Saints. But right now, the Giants are taking it slow. Head coach Joe Judge said he is not putting Saquon Barkley out there until he's 100%. So I personally do not expect Saquon Barkley to be active and attractive in week one. But we'll see. Hopefully, he can be ready by week four against the Saints. I really feel they'll need him that game, that's for sure.
Number one.
Anita, I know we've been offense heavy, but it feels like this position group has always been a focus. You mentioned the improvements they made across the board. But is this it? Have they finally found the right group up front to solidify this offensive line for Daniel Jones?
I love this defense. I loved this defense last year. I don't think enough is said about Blake Martinez, linebacker, the way that he's able to cover from sideline to sideline, I think is great. They go out and, they addressed the defensive line. Ojulari in the draft, everything I hear in OTAs, granted a small sample size in regard to training camp. I hear great things, and I love the addition of Adoree Jackson. You could possibly argue that the Giants have a top five, top seven secondary in the NFL with, of course, James Bradbury, Jabril Peppers, part of that trade with the Cleveland Browns. Logan Ryan, a huge leader on that defense. And again, I love the addition of Adoree Jackson. I think this defense is going to be solid, especially with Joe Judge at the helm, man. He loves his defenses, and he's got these guys playing top-notch.
It's been a very intense camp so far. We know and have seen that. Excited to see what else is to come. Check Anita Marks out on the Daily Wager on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Anita, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon, friend.
You got to enjoy the game tonight.
Awesome stuff from Anita Marks. And she mentioned the defense there. What we've seen, we know the Chargers to kind of find a bona fide pass rusher, right? And they had some guys miss time because of COVID last year, waiting to see if, Ximenes, anything with Lorenzo Carter can come online there. But Trev, I always look to the offensive line on this team as well. You look at this group and what they've tried to do here. They're trying to see, all right, Nate Solder coming back from the COVID list here. Matt Peart, your former third-round pick out of UConn, developing at right tackle. Kevin Zeitler leaves in the offseason. Like, can they solidify this up front? Because if Saquon's not healthy right off the bat, Giants ball carriers combined for a league-low 74 broken tackles last year. You're just not going to be able to live like that for an offense that wants to go bombs away and needs some help underneath.
There was always that feast or famine dynamic with Saquon. When he was healthy, it was either 2 yards or he's breaking it off a 56-minute touchdown, right? That was always the nature of their run game, and so they're hoping to get a little bit more consistency, because I know that 52 and 2 yard runs average out to, what is that, 29 per carry, but you cannot do anything that's sustainable in that regard. You're wanting to get more into that 3.5, 4 yards a clip that is a little bit more reasonable to expect from a consistency basis out of the run game.
And that's been Saquon going back to Penn State. He's always had lackluster groups in front. And we know the Giants O-line, I mean, Andrew Thomas was trending way towards bust, a guy that I was pretty high on coming out of Georgia when they drafted him at 4, developed a little more at the course of last year. And so now, can that group find any sort of identity up front consistently? Because there's been talent. Right. They've drafted, they used capital at that spot. We know Gettleman loves that group. But it's got to get more consistent, because if you can keep your running back healthy, if your quarterback can stay healthy, who is a run threat? We've seen Daniel Jones be a home runner hitter in the run game, and Dan Orlovsky talked about this with us the other day. If you've got a quarterback that's a legit threat there, you see a lot more open receivers. You see a lot fewer turnovers because of that. Daniel Jones, very quietly last year, second highest completion percentage on balls over 25 yards, only behind Deshaun Watson over the course of last season.
Yeah,
so when he's got the time, if you can facilitate that up front, he's been able to make good things happen. It's all got to be more consistent, and it's all got to be fewer turnovers with him.
That's exactly what I was going to go to, right? Like, the idea of turning the ball over less is largely contingent upon his decision making, right? Like, and I think he's grown more and more to a comfort level within the offense, and hopefully that's something that is now mitigated entirely, because when it comes to his role within that offense, it was the fumbles for him, right?
Yep.
More than anything. And so that's something that he can fix on his own.
That's three and out. The three biggest questions facing the New York Giants as we head into the upcoming NFL season. Coming up next, though, the Dallas Cowboys in that division playing tonight in the Hall of Fame game here. What's on the line? What's the expectation for this team now? And how do you deal with a backup quarterback battle on the other sideline? We'll get to that after this word from Barbasol. Now, in 1919, Barbasol introduced the very first no brush, no lather, no rub shaving cream. No rub in shaving cream. Today, we celebrate this milestone with a fresh take on the original. Introducing Barbasol 1919 Classic Shaving Cream, a culmination of over 100 years of shaving excellence. This new non-aerosol shaving cream, fortified with aloe, coconut oil, shea butter, to soothe and protect your skin. It's like the offensive line of shaving cream. Soothe and protect. That's what we're here for, baby.
Soothing primarily.
This is a very soothing offensive line. I may not have thought out that part of the analogy here, but when you pair it with a fresh and calming fragrance, which definitely isn't the O-line now, we've gone off the path here, this ultra-slick formula delivers a shave experience like no other. Learn more at Barbasol.com. Let's check in with Marcus Spears next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Coming up next, we'll give you the top quarterback in the NFL doing his own research as we continue to march down a strange path towards the 2021 season. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And if we're going to continue to have our hands firmly planted in the dirt as march toward the start of this NFL season, we got to go to the big boss himself here. Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, who you guys can check out as a part of the great NFL Live crew that's back for another season this year, joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, how do you feel during training camp? Like, do you still have any of that, like, feeling of anxiety or wanting to hit folks even now that you wear a suit for a living?
You know, I had it for a couple of years, MG Jr. Now, I just relish in the fact that I can be in air condition for the majority of the day, and I can go take my walk like I'm doing now anytime I get good and ready. So, no, to answer your question, I have no recollection of training camp. It was such a devastating time in my life that I'm glad I've fully forgotten it now.
It is amazing, Marcus, and I'm sure seeing a guy like Joe Looney there running laps for the Giants and then deciding to call it a career doesn't make you feel any more like going back to it, right?
No, sir, bro. Like, think about it, MG. You've been through it. Like, dude, you waking up at 5, you know you're not getting to sleep until 11 p.m. You're waking up at 5 a.m. You hitting dudes. You around the same dudes for 3 weeks. Your family back home. Your wife back home, your significant other back home. It's terrible. And look, we are the reasons. We are the culprit. Like, ESPN is one of the culprits. Because we fool people into thinking that training camp is some pleasant experience because guys are smiling and they laughing and joking. That is like 2% of legit training camp. The other 98%, we are mad as hell that we still where we are practicing football.
Just frowns all around. Like, you know, that moment when you're walking out to the turf and you see the waves because of the heat in the air.
Brother.
Like, that was just one of the most devastating things. I wanted nothing to do with it, knowing I had to put on a helmet and pants.
Exactly.
Right now.
There's no parts of that are enjoyable. So, thankfully, now we just get to watch it, Marcus. So, as we get set to watch some preseason football tonight between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers here, I want to look at the Dallas Cowboys team that you spent plenty of time with in your NFL career here. How do you think we're going to be measuring success for Dak Prescott this year? He got the contract. He's coming back off injury here. But what does success in 2021 look like for Rain Dakota Prescott?
I think the word we need to always be attached to when we watch Dak and want to see is efficiency, man. I'm not in the club that he needs to be in the MVP conversation and throw for 4,500 and 40 touchdowns. Yeah, that'll be great. And it ain't like Dak can't do that. But I want to see a well-balanced Dallas Cowboys football team from an offensive standpoint. And sometimes that's just not conducive to your quarterback being up there as far as numbers-wise in the upper echelon. So I just want to see Dak be efficient. I want to see him make great decisions. All right, win some of these big games. Win some games that you're not supposed to win because he made two or three or four plays throughout that game that changed it. And that's what you're looking for, man. Like, these quarterbacks, from a consistency standpoint, especially in today's NFL, we're going to see gaudy numbers. We're going to see big-time touchdown numbers. We're going to see these guys throw for a lot of yards because of just the way offense is. But in those moments is when we judge them. In those moments, those high-pressure situations, games that you fourth-quarter drives, wins at the end of a game is how we're going to judge them. Dak was paid $160 million this offseason. And they paid Dak not only to win games and be a good quarterback, they paid Dak a lot of money to make sure that in those crunch time situations, they got a guy that they can trust that's going to come through. So that's what we need to see.
So Dak got broke off. Lovely story there. But over in Pittsburgh, the opposite happened for Ben Roethlisberger. Took a deliberate pay cut. But there's a lot more questions than answers surrounding the quarterback situation at large in Pittsburgh. So is the quarterback of the future in the Steelers locker room currently, Marcus?
I wish I could answer that question, and I wish I could say it was Dwayne Haskins, and that's something that I'll have my eye on tonight. I know he was drafted highly. He has a tremendous amount of talent. Trev, I know I'm supposed to have answers. I don't, man. I just it's really – a work in progress. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers hope that either Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph shows them something that can tell them that they can move on from Big Ben. This is not an ideal situation to have an aging quarterback and no answer behind him. That's why I didn't jump on the bandwagon of the Jordan Love pick in Green Bay being terrible. If you identify some traits about a guy and you think you can draft him while you got an aging quarterback, regardless of how that quarterback is playing, and put him in your system, so he understands when he takes over, it's the right decision. Pittsburgh didn't do that. I mean, you could say they did that with Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs, but nobody thinks that they have an answer or a succession plan for Big Ben. And that's an issue, especially with a franchise as storied as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Haskins or Mason Rudolph are going to have to show up well in this preseason to give us and the Pittsburgh Steelers an indication that they can move on from Big Ben. Because trust me, management is there. I love the relationship. Ben has done tremendous work. But it's the front office and management for the Pittsburgh Steelers are smart. They looking for their next quarterback.
And we're going to see if they've got that foresight, but no doubt the evaluation process begins in earnest tonight when we'll get an extended look at Dwayne Haskins and Mason Rudolph. Marcus, enjoy the walk. Enjoy not having to put hands on people anymore and enjoy the game tonight, brother. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, fellas. Sorry about the car noise, but that's, you know, that's what happens when you live near the city now.
Hey, man, listen, that's the off-season life right now. We appreciate you, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
Marcus Spears, you guys can check him out on NFL Live right there. Just getting the steps in, man.
I was getting ready to say, man, he's trying to close his move ring, ain't we all?
That is the beautiful thing about life, because we're watching right now, and we'll get to Hard Knocks soon. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys that we talked about yesterday, the Hard Knocks preview came out the other day. We're getting ready to get in that mode where we're going to see all those old trappings of having to go out there. And, Trev, for my money, there are a lot of parts about training camp that suck.
Yes.
The worst part, and it's a little bit mitigated in today's NFL because they took a lot of this out here, but having to do two-a-days, it's not the second practice, it's the second warm-up.
Yep.
The second time you got to go through a dynamic warm-up with knee braces on here, I promise you, that's the closest to seventh circle of hell you're going to get in that process.
Right, and the sixth is the walk to practice, right? Yep. Like, it's either the warm-up, and because once you get going, like, you get the first hit, and it's like, okay, I'm here, might as well just knock it out, but... No, warming up, the impending nature of the practice is the worst part. Knowing you can't take a full nap, it's a 15-second lay down, and keep your eyes open because the whistle might sound at any moment. Like, that is the worst part about it.
Yep, you walk through the rest of your life now. If I hear an air horn blown anywhere, I promise you, I'm looking and wondering what I'm late for. It's
what
sheer
period?
Terror.
No.
Oh, what just, period is that?
Not helpful.
It's... That's not cool, helpful. Man. You guys have been pretty liberal with some messed up sounders here lately. All right, coming up next here. We really got to stop doing that one. We got to take that one off the board. That one's not fair to people driving around in their cars right now, trying to live a normal and complete life here full of happiness. Coming up next, speaking of someone who's trying to live a more normal life, one quarterback's very unique approach to this upcoming NFL season that we will get to next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
He can't muster that up.
Oh, my God.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You know we're going to get you set for the Hall of Fame game coming up in 10 minutes.
Like, yeah.
I'm Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales here. I don't care how weird people look at me. You're lying if you're out there somewhere right now, not going to tune in for at least a little bit, right?
Right. You're going to turn the tube over. It's football, baby. You know what it is.
There's going to be fans there.
Yes.
Like, and now, we can debate in this current climate whether or not that's going to continue to be a good thing. Like, there's a lot of questions that we might have to start to ask again soon. But again, if we can, you know, do what we've done with sports in a lot of ways for the last year and suspend disbelief for a minute, there's going to be something that feels normal. And Lord knows we all crave that on a cellular level at this point. So
yeah.
We'll get you all lined up with that, because I know people don't usually think this for preseason football, but there are a couple of very interesting things to keep an eye out for in this game tonight that we'll get you coming up in about 10 minutes here. But Trev, the thing happened again. I want to couch this by saying, we're all sick of having to have the COVID conversation around football. And it's getting to a good place. As of Tuesday this week, 90% of the league had at least one dose of the vaccine in them. So we know the message that the NFL has been sending has been largely received by players. We've heard angry coaches in Washington, Ron Rivera upset with his team, a guy who's, you know, overcome a cancer diagnosis last year, had to watch his team look and say, no, not for you. And so we heard from him. We also heard from a very angry Mike Zimmer in Minnesota, because he had to deal with a roster that was down three of its quarterbacks, and one of them including Kirk Cousins, the starter on that team. So I saw it was Kellen Mond, their backup, their pick out of Texas A&M, that had tested positive. Kirk was a close contact here, but Kirk has made a point. He is not a vaccinated player. And so Kirk Cousins addressed the media today talking about the COVID protocol and his response. Let's take a look at the quarterback's answer.
With this happening, that you should be vaccinated, are you giving consideration to being vaccinated? I think the vaccination decision is a private, very private health matter for me, and I'm going to keep it as such. I do believe that as a leader of the team, it's very important to follow the protocols to avoid this close contact, because that is what it's going to come down to, is did you have a close contact? And so I'm going to be vigilant about avoiding a close contact. I've even thought about, should I just set up literally plexiglass around where I sit so that this could never happen again? I've thought about it, because I'm going to do whatever it takes. So we're going to avoid this close contact thing, and I look forward to making sure I'm playing for every game this year.
Everything you say. Everything. Trev, I see the incredulous look on your face here.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Everything is very simple in this instance, actually. Everything is getting that jab. Everything is just taking the moment to recognize that there is a football decision to be made at this point, because they've eliminated all sort of politicization and any sort of nuance in this. They say, hey, look, if you want to play football with ease, go ahead and get this shot. If you don't, and you want to have to jump through hoops, then don't. Right? Like, there is so many different things that we are making this that it is not. The idea of his rationale being the close contact is the issue. The distance between he, Kellen Mond, and Nate Stanley was the issue. So the idea of them getting a bigger room eliminates the idea of him ever being in protocol as a high-risk close contact anymore. No, brother. You get the jab, and you ain't got to worry about it like that anymore. But you're refusing to do so, for whatever the reason may be. But do not boil it down to something that it is not. It is no longer you doing everything for this team, because you aren't. And it is clearly an issue of you being vaccinated, because there are clear lines that have been drawn out by the protocols, by the NFL, that have been talked about ad nauseum, and that there are differences as to whether or not you are vaccinated and a COVID positive test comes within your force field, essentially.
It's just, and Kirk Cousins has maintained now, I don't know if we've ever gotten a clear answer. Like, he's dodged it and said it's a personal decision.
Yeah.
Time and time again here, but it's one of those situations. And I saw it was Arif Hasan, who covers the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic. He said Kirk Cousins says he's been doing a lot of research. When asked if he'd made contact with Dr. Alan Sills, he says no. Like, these things do not go together in a world that believes he's made that decision here. And so especially at that position, I think you can understand why Mike Zimmer is exceptionally frustrated, because yes, it's already a quarterback in Kirk Cousins who we know, despite what his Madden accuracy ratings say, he's been a very middle-of-the-pack quarterback that was brought there to get that team over the Super Bowl hump. And if you don't have him on the field, it's going to be awfully hard to do that, because it's going to be awfully hard to do that even if he's on the field. That's going to be the difficult part here. And this is coming at the same time where we're seeing the NFLPA recommend that players be tested every day, even if they are vaccinated, because J.C. Treader, the head of the Players Association Center for the Cleveland Browns, and the rest of this group are looking and saying, hey, we've heard some of the cries of unvaccinated players. We heard Cole Beasley say, hey, listen, if you're only testing the vaccinated players who can carry this new strain once every 2 weeks, are they not possible people that could spread this? Absolutely. And so J.C. and them said, all right, fine. If you do that, we'll go ahead and test everybody every day. We'll make sure, because it's not an inconvenience to make sure that we're getting this thing off the ground in the right way. That's what it looks like when everyone's talking about sacrificing for this common goal of getting the season online.
Yeah, far be it for me to agree with Cole Beasley on just about anything right about now, but there is something to be said for testing everybody for the sake of making sure that the spread is limited as much as possible. There's just no reason to not go about doing it that way.
Yeah, again, I can think Kirk Cousins sounds silly here, and again, we haven't heard from him one way or another. It certainly seems by the public comments to lean a certain way, but again, in this spot, for a sport that talks about sacrificing so much for the team, man, it seems to butt up to a very clear line in all of this. Now, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And coming up next, we will help you discover the things you actually need to be paying attention for, why this first preseason game can actually be a huge learning experience. Next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.